Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from the Gnostic tradition of Samael Aun Weor. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal teaching of practical science, whose goal is absolute liberation from suffering and the complete development of the human being. This lecture is one of hundreds available as free downloads, podcasts, or transcriptions. Our lectures range in topic and complexity in order to address the many needs of humanity. We invite you to browse our library of lectures to find teachings that suit you. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live and includes a free online classroom allowing listeners to see images, read related scriptures, and ask questions of the speaker. To learn how to participate, visit GnosticRadio.org. Gnostic Radio is a service of Glorian Publishing, a nonprofit organization. The lectures and radio broadcast have been made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Most spiritual schools recommend a donation of $10 to $20 per lecture. To make a donation, visit GnosticRadio.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Runes, Rita, Ehe, and Not. We are arriving at the meaning of these three runes after explaining different topics related with the previous runes that open our doors in order to enter into the theme of karma. So Rita, Ehe, and Not are the runes related directly with the law, which in previous lecture we talk about. The law that emanates from the solar absolute. Remember that Buddha Gautama Sakyamuni stated that there are three eternal things in the universe: the space, nirvana, and karma. Oh, that is the law of cause and effect, which emanates directly from the solar absolute, the protocosmos, which in previous lecture we stated is the unique law. The universe exists because of karma. And the present cosmic day, or Maha Manvantara, exists because the law of cause and effect that we explained briefly in previous lectures, related, remember, with that rune Ur, in which we explain that the present cosmic day is the effect of a previous epoch that is called the Schutt-Bogli-Tanical period, in which the solar absolute was infected by certain vibrations of the megalocosmos that shouldn't enter into the abstract absolute solar space. That type of alteration, as we explained in the previous lecture, Ur, is called a Geno-Triamatsikamian contact that certain individuals the cause of it caused to the solar absolute, because they were bringing from the megalocosmos still subjective element that shouldn't exist within that perfected solar force. And because that infection, the solar absolute was forced to create and to change the laws of the protocosmos. We stated that previously the protocosmos, or solar absolute, was auto-egocratic, meaning that it was sustained by itself without the help of the universe, the help of the megalocosmos. But because of that infection that entered from the megalocosmos, the absolute, the solar absolute, became trogo, auto-egocratic. That, of course, as you see, is the effect of that cause. So that is what we call karma, cause and effect. So the trogo, auto-egocratic function now of the protocosmos, or solar absolute, is the law that acts directly according to cause and effect, according with the law of karma. Remember that when we talk about the law of karma, we don't have to put that law outside, but inside of us. Because when we talk about the absolute, we have stated that each one of us, in its most more profound depth, has part of that absolute. And that is what we call the Ein Sof. The Ein Sof, or the limitless. That is the inner star that guides our interior. From that inner star emerges the Glorian, which is also called the ray of Okidanok, the ray of creation. That Glorian is formed by three primary forces: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christianity, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva in Hinduism. What then, Willy We, in the Edda, according to the runic Futhark, that we are addressing. The three primary forces exist within the Ein Sof and project them through the ray of creation in order to develop all the infinite possibilities in the universe and to acquire the realization of those possibilities. That Ein Sof is a true reality, the true self, in the very depth of our being. This is what we call the self-realization. And that's why all of us has their own particular Ein Sof. And we are in this universe is because we have the duty of realize those potentialities within each one of us. But we have to understand that in order for us to execute the development of those possibilities, we have to do it accordingly with the law of karma, cause and effect. Because during the process of development, because we ignore about our own reality, we commit mistakes. That's why Madame Blavatsky, the great martyr of the 19th century, she stated, "The ray of Okidanok, the Glorian, or that ray of creation that emanates from our own particular star, is the eternal breath, profoundly unknowable to itself. And its duty is to become knowable of itself in the manifestation in the universe." So mistakes happen when that Ein Sof still has not acquired the cognizance of its own properties in 100%. And that's why that period called the Shut Boglitanical period, in which certain elements, Ein Sofs, that were still with certain elements that were not perfected, infected the atmosphere of the Ein Sof Or. Here we are going directly into the Tree of Life. Remember that the Absolute is formed by three parts: the Ein Sof, and the Ein Sof Or. So when we talk that the solar Absolute was infected by certain elements of the outside of the universe, we are talking about the third aspect of the Absolute, which is the Ein Sof Or, the solar Absolute, which is exactly above the Sephira Keter. We also explained that only the word Aur, A-U-R, encloses the mystery of the solar Absolute. That Aur, which is pronounced Or in Hebrew, means light. So that is precisely that light that we are talking about, within which we are sparks or rays. It depends of our inner development. Within that light, all of us are one. But when those individuals enter there with certain elements of the outside the universe, the megalocosmos, that pure and perfect light was altered. It's necessary for you to understand this, because the different events that happen in our present cosmic day, within them are certain mistakes committed by cosmic creators. What is a cosmic creator? It's an Ein Sof that acquired already the self-realization of its own capabilities. But remember that in that period, the Shut Boglitanical period, the Absolute was infected by certain individuals that entered there with certain elements that were, we will say, negative, that infected the atmosphere. That caused disturbance in the cosmos, in the organization of planets, suns, comets. And that's why the necessity of the solar absolute to initiate this cosmic day in order to balance, to equilibrate, and to fix those mistakes. When we hear this, please understand that in your depth, all of us are part of that. Because we are atoms of that abstract, absolute space. Do not ever think as separate elements. What you have to think is that we are elements of that abstract space that do not have the development of other elements, of other parts. When we talk about cosmic creators, we think of those elements of the abstract space that already are helping the solar absolute in world creation, world maintenance, because they acquired that in previous cosmic days. And of course, this enters into the topic of karma. Because the law of karma is that law that equilibrates, that balances the universe, that helps us to comprehend that still we are not acquiring that equilibrium of the forces within each one of us. That's why we place in the Tree of Life the back of the human body. In many books of the Master Samael on the Or, he states that the Tree of Life is the spinal column. So when we see over the Tree of Life, we always said left and right, center. But many Gnostics still place that Tree of Life in front of a human being facing them. And it's precisely the opposite. It's the back, because it's a spinal column. So every time that we see the Tree of Life, we have to see the back of ourselves. If we imagine a huge human being, we have to imagine the back of it, not the front. And that way we understand why we say that Klipot, as you see, that comes after Malkut, relates to the Kunda buffer organ, to the forces related with the shadow, of the tree of life. If the tree of life is from the coccyx up to the brain, the tree of death is from the coccyx down to the atomic inferior dimensions of the human being. This is how we had to see it in order to comprehend it. So, tree of life, tree of death, two aspects of the same thing, which in runic language is called yew, the yew tree. The yew tree, which relates to the rune Ehe, and that also is called Ewas, the rune E or Ehe, E-H-E, or only the E-H, and also the other Ewas. That we are going to explain in this lecture in order for you to understand the mystery of the yew tree according to the runes. But first, we have to go into the rune Rita, which is the rune related with the interior judge. That judgment that we had to develop, which is part of our own spiritual reality, that it relates to our own particular karma. And we are going to explain how this rune Rita relates to the tree of life. If you see the shape of that rune, it's made of a vertical line, or the rune Is. It's also called Isa, which is just a vertical line that we explained in previous lectures. Relate to the innermost and to that part from where the innermost emerged, which is the Divine Mother space, which is the Divine Mother Kundalini, the origin of our own innermost, our own spirit. So that is the rune Is. But here we are going to explain how it appears, that innermost, that is, into the universe through the letter R. Remember that in previous lecture we explained that the letter R in the Hebrew Kabbalistic alphabet is called Resh or Rash, which means head. If we observe the tree of life, we find that the first R that appears above is in the word Aur. We told you that the U refers to the Ur rune, and also we find the name of the Ur rune here in Aur, Ur, which relates to the Ein Sof, to our own particular Ein Sof. The R relates to the rune R that we explained in the previous lecture, the altar. The rune R has also the R there as Aur. But it's hidden here in the word Aur, the U and the rune R as well, the rune Rita, which is the very end of the world. And it's because that light that emerges from the Ein Sof emerges according to karma. Is a karma in action. So according to that is how the R enters into the universe. Now, if you observe the rune R, you see very clear that, as I said, is the rune Is, which is directly related with the central column of the Tree of Life that goes from Keter down to the ninth sphere in the center of the planet. But obviously, it doesn't go straight, because according to the Tree of Life, it goes in zigzag. Remember that the other rune that we explain is a rune Sig. Or is in this way. That's the rune Sig. It's also related to the Divine Mother. Now, if you observe carefully the rune Rita, or Rit, because it's also Rit or Rita, you see clearly that the rune Sig is there next to the Is, but is backwards. Is there, forming that part of the R. So in the rune Rita, you see the Is and the Sig together. The rune Rita is and Sig together. Do you realize that? The way in which the light or descends in a zigzag in the Tree of Life. There. 5 times until it reaches the hell. Remember that there are 5 aspects of the Divine Mother coming from the space into Keter, which also has another R at the end. Keter, which is the crown in Kabbalistic words. So that is the beginning. And that's why Keter is called the unique law in us. That law that connects to the Ein Sof. That's why when we talk about the unique law, is the Glorian. That Glorian is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit plus the Ein Sof. The Holy Tetragrammaton. The Holy Name of God. That's the only law in the depth of each one of us. So that's why Aur has the R and Keter also, which symbolizes the innermost with the Sig, which is the lightning that emerges from the space down. Now, as you see, really, the third Sephira that has the letter R in the Tree of Life is Gebura. I mean the second. I said Ein Sof Or is the first, but really the manifested Keter is the first. And then the second is Gebura. Then you find there Gebura. The law again manifesting in the world of Bria. Because Keter is the law manifested in the world of Atziluth. And finally, the law of the Rita ends in Tiferet, which is that other aspect of the monad that has the letter R in it. So when we talk about the law inside of us, the upper part, of course, is the Ein Sof Or. That's the first law of the Glorien that manifests in our particular individual Keter, our Ancient of Days. And from Keter descends into Geburah. And from Geburah into Tiferet. Do you see that? You are making precisely the two lines of the Rune Sich, from Keter to Geburah and to Tiferet. And the other line of the R to Hod. We are making the R here backwards. When we write the R or Rita, we do it towards the right. But remember that we are here showing the back. If we made or we make the rune with our body, I put my left arm on my waist and I stretch my left leg. That's the R. Seen from the front. But if I turn my back towards you, and then the R is in the opposite direction. Because in the tree of life, left and right are related to the spinal, to the back. So when you see the rune amend in this position facing you, I put in the left there because our own particular karma or force of karma is in the left, because Geburah is in the left and reaches the heart, which is the sun. Remember that Tiferet is the sun, and the sun relates to the Ein Sof Or directly. Our own particular La. So in Tiferet, the human soul, is how we can manage the law. The Bible refers to it in different ways. But you have to see it in that way in order to understand. And of course, from Tiferet goes into the Sephira Hod, which is the astral light. That is the end of the rune Rita, in the shape of it. So think about, analyze that. From Keter to Geburah to Tiferet to Hod, to make the shape of the rune Rita, which means writer in German, which means writer. And Richter, I believe, is the pronunciation of judge. Richter, writer. Writer, which is writer. And Richter, which is judge. In the German language, you find many words related with this R that relates to the law. So when we think about that, we have to understand and comprehend that. What Rita is. Rita, writer, rider, is of course that human that acquired perfection in himself through the rune Is, which is the spinal column, and the rune Sich, which is the other part of the rune Rita, which relates to the Divine Mother, means that works with the force of the Divine Mother in his spinal column. That is the right rider, the rider, who rides on the other rune, which is called Ehe or Ewas. Remember that A was that relates to the U tree, relates to the forces of good and evil. This true, this U tree, symbol of the A was, has this fruit that you can see there in the graphic, like red berries. Usually, a small fruit like that berry in any tree is directly related with Mars. Mars' color is red. And when you find any fruit with small fruits like berries, we will say that this tree is related with the planet Mars. Which rules Geburah? That Geburah is related with a liver. Mars rules the liver in our physical body. So behold all of that in order to comprehend the rune Ehe, or Eguas, as we say, which is just a derivative of that rune that we had to comprehend. The yew tree, in biblical terms, we said the tree of good and evil, as we explained in the lectures, or life and death, in other words. It depends how we use it. That life force or death force in us all depends on how we behave with the energies that we have. In the one of the shapes of the rune Eguas, especially again the straight line, the east, with one part of an arrow to the right, and in the left, the other part of an arrow pointing down, which makes the shape of the rune Eguas, which is also called Ehe as well. Above, the line to the right reminds us the rune Laf, the philosophical stone. And the other one is precisely the same rune, but upside down, pointing to the left. If you imagine the tree of life, the right is the man, and the left is the woman. From the right, the energy descends to the very bottom of sex, which is a sexual force that has to rise to the left in order to acquire perfection. That's why this rune is very powerful, the shape of it. Because the other shape of the rune Ehe or Eguas is this, which is again, the rune is the vertical line cross by a transversal line that comes from the left to the right. We're going to explain that in order for you, but look very carefully. From the left arm to the right arm down. The left arm is forming 45 degrees, and the right is forming 135 degrees. In relation, of course, with the circle that has 360 degrees. Now, the other shape of the rune looks like an M. But if you observe, indeed are just two laughs facing each other. These two laughs facing each other are man and woman. If you put your imagination in that rune laugh, it resembles the number one. And the other one is another one. So in other words, it's 11, but the two ones facing each other. That is forming what we call man and woman. That's why when we point at the ruined Eguas or Ehe, we always point at the wedding, the marriage of one love and the other love. Because the love rune represents the philosophical stone, which is sexual force, the sexual force. And if you want to imagine also, one sexual force above and the other below. You know, the upside down love is the woman that receives the man. And that makes the other love, the other shape of the rune. This M shape rune, which is called also Ehe or Ewas, is also called the horse rune. Because the horse, the equine, it comes from the Latin equus, which means equal, in which the law is working equally between men and women. The horse, this is why the horse is also a symbol of the law. Of the law that is accomplished to the perfect matrimony, to the perfect couple. Because in the sexual act is how we manage the ray of creation, which is a unique law. You cannot control the ray of creation only with one polarity. Because in order to create, you needed two polarities. There does not exist a man or of a woman that can create only with one polarity. So that's why the mystery of the matrimony, which make also the Latin M in this way, that symbolizes the horse. In other words, he who wants to become a rider to control the law of karma has to do it through the matrimony. In order to develop all the qualities, capabilities of our own particular self, we need to be married. We need to control the ray of creation. And that's precisely the mystery there. If you know how to control the ray of creation, you are developing your qualities. And you are controlling your own karma. You see that? That's why the horse, which is the M, if you see a horse in profile, just put the head there in one side and the tail in the other. And there are the horse, precisely, what you have to ride. There, the vertex that you see there, formed by the two little lines of the laugh, is forming the chair where the rider sits. And it has, and the rider is the letter R. Because the rider is working with the sikh in his east spinal column in order to control the sexual act, whether it is a man or a woman. That is a horse. And that horse has to become white. Because when you start working, it's black. So you have to transform your animal nature into a spiritual nature. Remember that the energy that you need in order to self-realize is in the physical body, not the horse. In reality, we have four horses: the vital body, the astral body, and the mental body, or mind, emotion, ethereal force, and physical force, which are also represented in many images, pictures of any master riding four horses. And the book of Revelation talk about the four horses. Those four horses are mind, emotion, vital, and physical. So we have to control that. The inferior quaternary, the animal that we have. Remember that that animal that we have is represented in a negative aspect as Medusa. She's all that negativity that we have, those animality that we have within. Remember that when Perseus cut the head of Medusa and dropped it in the sea, from the sea emerged Pegasus, that white horse. Representation of a metamorphosis, a transformation of the animal soul into a perfect spiritual soul through the transmutation. Because the sea symbolizes the sexual force. So when we decapitate that Medusa inside of us, the outcome will be the Pegasus, or the white horse, which is the symbol of the absolute control of the animal force that we have. This is what the horse is a symbol of. Symbol of the Mercury with the wings. But if that horse is transformed into a white horse, it is because the rider is doing it. You cannot find a horse or a rider that first doesn't tame the horse. Has to control. The horse has to be controlled. And in order to control it, you have to sit on it. To sit on the horse is to perform the sexual act. Men and women learn to control that force of creation. Because creation only comes from a sperm and an ovum. Remember that. So that when we talk about matrimony, it has to be man and woman. If you want to transform yourself into a human being. So you have to ride the horse. So when you see the symbol of the Kalki avatar, according to the Hindus, the Kalki avatar appears riding a white horse. Means that it's the one that acquires complete dominion of Ehe, matrimony. And that's why Matthias Amelon Vior, his first book is Perfect Matrimony. And that is precisely the Ehe. In the book of Revelation, we find in the chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, that it states, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." That white horse is the sexual force, the animal force, already transformed into a Pegasus. It's perfect. Through chastity. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's karma. In righteousness means through Geburah. Because Geburah is that part of the law in us that make war inside of us in order to acquire that perfection. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In Hebrew is Dabar Elohim. Dabar. Remember that Bar is son in Aramaic. Ends with the R. The sun. Or the forces of the head. of Dalet, Da'at. So, the R is Gebura and Tiferet together, that obey the forces of Keter and learn to ride on the white horse. That is represented by Samael on the Or. You see that, the mystery of the name of the master, Samael on the Or. He appears riding a white horse, meaning that he's controlling his animal nature. Behind him comes an army of Nirvana, or heaven, of masters that are also riding white horses. All of them are riders. So in order to acquire that level, that control, you have to be a rider. In order to be a rider, you have to reach the level of Tiferet. You reach the level of Tiferet by controlling the horse or horses. Physical body, vital body, astral body, mental body, in family reaching the causal body. And perfecting himself according to Geburah, which is the law. Because each one of us has his own particular karma. So the why Rita relates to karma. The way in which we have to manage our own particular karma. Through the forces of creation. Because the forces of creation are related to the three primary forces. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you perform when you are performing the sexual act. The man is the affirming force. The woman is the negative force. Or the receiving, the passive force. And the force that unites both forces is a neutral, the sexual energy. And how you ride. So esoterically speaking, when somebody is controlling your sexual energy, whether a man or a woman, he says she or he is a good rider. But if you are, of course, falling and transmuting and dropping, is that he is falling from the horse many times. The horse is very wild and is throwing him on the ground. Obviously, he needs to tame more the horse in order to be a good rider. Here you see very clear why the mystery of Dabar, the word of God, relates, of course, Dabar is the word, relates to the runic alphabet, or the Futhark, in which you put in activity that force, following your intuition, because Tifereth is a heart, and Geburah is the law in each one of us, that point at us when we do something wrong in our path. That is called remorse. The remorse of conscience. That hopefully all of us have it. Because when the person loses, that remorse is lost. And then he does negative things, erroneous things, and doesn't feel remorse, doesn't feel bad. It's like in the state and the level which this humanity has reached, that they're doing bad things to themselves, and they feel proud of it. Here I am, they say, I am a degenerate one. And I am out of the closet. And everybody applaud him. And don't feel any remorse of confessing their degeneration. Remember, generation comes from the creation. You generate with a ray of creation. When you use that ray of creation in your body in the wrong way, you degenerate that ray. So if somebody is degenerate, it's not because somebody is giving that title to that person. No. If you are your own judge, you see, your own ka'om is how you call it in these terms. When you judge yourself and see, I am using the ray of creation, the sexual energy, in the right way, I am creating for my spirit, or am I using the ray of creation in the degenerate manner? So the answer that you receive is that. Because the way, the normal way to utilize the sexual energy is between men and women. This is how you create. You cannot create in other ways. Nobody is born by the air. Even though in Christianity they said that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But in Gnosticism we know that the Holy Spirit is the sexual force. So when Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, means by the sexual force of men and women. It's hidden in that aspect. So that is precisely the R riding the M, riding the horse. And this is something that we have to understand and comprehend in relation with the law of karma. Now, in the book of Genesis, it is stated, and Yod Havah Elohim said, it is not good that Adam should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That Adam reminds us of the Lemurian race. The Lemurian race that in the beginning was androgynous, having both sexes at the same time. But according to the law of evolution, it came the time. And when the androgynous beings had to be divided into separate sexes, men and women. And that's why it's written here. And out of the ground, Yod Havah Elohim formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. This explains that the division of sexes, male-female, happened first in the animal kingdom. And eventually happened in the human kingdom. Because nature never jumps. So when you read that, explain it very clear there, that helped meet, or the division of sexes, is happening first in the animal kingdom, or in the beast kingdom, in other words. And later appears in the human kingdom. That's why it is written after that, and Yod Havah Elohim caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and close up the flesh instead thereof, and the reed which Yod Havah Elohim had taken from Adam, he made a woman, and brought him unto Adam. And Adam said, this is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because it was taken out of man. In order to understand that, we had to go into the tree of life. Remember that it's always stated that the left side is the woman and the right side is the man. When he said one of his ribs is from the left, to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you see? And in the left, what do you find in the left? The runrita, the sikh, the feminine aspect, the force of the mother. This is something very important to comprehend and understand. Because it's through the woman how the divine mother is sikh, work. We have our own particular mother, but the woman itself represents that left part, physically speaking. And that's why the necessity of the matrimony in order to complete the tree of life. We need a sexual connection in order for the man to take the feminine aspect, which is the left, within which we find the serpent. And the right, which is the man. So the woman needs the right part, because she is the left. But remember that one and one makes the M. So that's why the woman is the only being that can be close to the man, and the man is the only being that can be close to the woman, because the two polarities are represented in the tree of life in that way. It is the M of matrimony, or the horse. And when you ride, remember that you ride always with the left. That's the rider. Why the left? Because the right is the sun and the left is the moon. The moon relates to creation. Now, we have to enter into another topic in order to explain the following. In the beginning of the materialization of this planet into the three-dimensional world, the Earth, of course, was crystallizing little by little from the higher dimensions into the lower dimensions. Remember that presently we are in what we call the fourth round, which relates to the physical plane. Previous to that, we were in the ethereal round, fourth dimension. Previous to that, we were in the astral round, fifth dimension. And previous to that, in the mental round, which is in the same fifth dimension, but upper dimension. This is how the Mahamanvantara develops. Mind or mental, emotion, astral, ethereal, and physical. We are now in the physical. But of course, imagine this now in order for you to understand and comprehend what I'm going to explain to you. You are the outcome of a sperm and an ovum. You are the outcome, or we are the outcome, of a sexual act. There's nothing new here. All of us know that a man and a woman called father and mother united sexually, and this is how we were created. We were 9 months in the womb of our mother, but thanks to the seed that the father put into her womb. In other words, clearly, we are children of the sun and the moon. The sun is the father, the moon is the mother. Right? The sun is the solar period, and the mother is the lunar period, or the ethereal round, in other words. So when we are seen physically, we say, I am physically, thanks to the inheritance that were placed in the sperm of my father, within the womb of my mother. So also, I have the inheritance of my mother in my physical body. In other words, my father and my mother are fragments of my life, physical life. Do you get that? Are not fragments, that came from my physical body. No. Those fragments are the origin of this fragment, which is my physical body, which is my own humanity. So if I go into my past in order to investigate the genes of my physical body, the DNA of my physical body, I go and then, oh, the cause of this is my mother and my father. That is called karma. Because of karma, I have this body. You have the body that you have. Can you understand that? It's not difficult to comprehend that, right? As below, so above. As above, so below. The planet Earth is the outcome of also fragments of other cosmic days. Just to understand that. The moon is the mother of the Earth. And not like some mistakenly suppose that couldn't understand the message in the internal planes. They said that the moon is a fragment of the Earth and is wrong. It's like said, my mother is a part of my body. No, my body is part of my mother. So when we talk about fragments, Gurdjieff and Belzebub tells to his son, he states that the Earth has two fragments in the space, part of it. Yeah, they are part of it, but not in the way that he explains. The Earth is part of those fragments. Because those fragments belong to the previous cosmic days. The moon that shines in the night is called Nahema in Kabbalah. And the other moon, also because the Earth has two moons, the other moon is a little bit farther in the space after the white moon. And it's called the black moon. It's called Lilith. Lilith is very small, like 18 kilometers in diameter. That's why when you see it through the telescope, it looks like a small lentil. After the big moon. And usually people think, or the astronomers think that it's just an asteroid that is passing through. But no, that Lilith, Kabbalistically we state, is a 8th sphere, but infra. When you said 8th sphere, you had to go to the tree of life. What is the 9th sphere? Is your thought related with the moon. But we also explain that Hod is related with the moon. Not only with the moon, the white moon, but also with the black moon. Because an 8th fall sphere, Lilith. In these two spheres, or two moons, this planet Earth has its own inheritance. So this planet Earth is the outcome of that white and black moon. There are fragments of the past cosmic days. And that the Earth has to control. Because all the life that was in the moon in the cosmic day, in the past cosmic day, has to pass into this planet. That's called, we will say in these terms, cosmic reincarnation or cosmic return. In the same way that we receive the values, physical values, vital and ethereal, from the father and mother that had the sexual act, and we receive that in the 9 months within the womb. In the same way, the Earth, when it was crystallizing physically, was sucking those values from the moon, Lilith and Nahema, the two moons. The atmosphere of the Earth is the element of the planet that sustains the rotation, the gravitation of those two moons that belongs to the planet. So we will say that these two moons are fragments of the Earth. But carefully understand, when I said that these two moons are fragments of the Earth, I'm not saying that are part of the physicality of the Earth. Fragments in the sense that were part of the human, of the anima mundi, of the soul of the Earth in past cosmic days. And that now has they have the duty of transferring all of those values according to karma to the planet Earth. So we sustain the big moon and the small moon because of karma, because belongs to us. According to the ray of creation, according to karma, belong to us. It doesn't belong to Mars. It doesn't belong to Venus. It belongs to the Earth. So in the present cosmic day, when still the atmosphere of the Earth was forming and sustaining, or we will say sucking, the light force of the moon and Lilith, in order to continue its evolution or development, there was a mistake in the solar system. Because a comet collided with this planet when it was starting to crystallize in a three-dimensional world. And this is what Gurdjieff talks about. Now he says, erroneously, that because of that collision, two fragments went into the space, and that was the two moons. Wrong. Because those fragments were there already when the comet passed through. Because those fragments belong to the Earth, are fragments of the Earth, but from the past cosmic forces. We're transferring the forces to the new body. And this is what he couldn't understand, or he couldn't understand, and that's why he committed a mistake saying that because of that collision, the two fragments went to the space. Oh, the two fragments were there already. Because of that collision, those two fragments that are really the karma of the Earth damaged the evolution of the psyche of this humanity. That's different. The Matthew Samael explains very well that, psychologically speaking, Adam had two wives, Lilith and Nahemah. So Lilith and Nahemah are those parts of our psychology related with those two moons that work in a very bad way to us because of a mistake committed in cosmic creation. Because of the collision of that comet that shouldn't collide with the Earth, but collided because of an erroneous mistake. And when I go there, you have to understand the Shut Bogli-Tanical period. It was not intentional. Because that accident happened because still there is certain things that have to be corrected in this cosmic day from that period, far away, or cosmic days. Now, in the internal planes, I ask a master, Master, I understand the planets and creation and understand the maintenance of this universe for a while I studied, but it's something that still I don't grasp. What is a comet? A comet is not going around like other planets, it's in another orbit. What is a comet? And he said, simple. Well, a comet is like a sperm. Sperm that takes principles of life to all the solar system. That the magnetism of the planets attract and are fecundated and only to develop. Imagine the planets like ovums of the mother space. How many ovums had mother space? A lot, right? So every planet is an oven. And those sperms, called comets, are principles of the Father that go everywhere in order to fecundate life. You know, he said, perfect. That feeds into my brain very well in relation with that. So this comet that Gurdjieff talks about, that is comet Kondur, K-O-N-D-O-O-R, the comet Kondur, was starting his voyage, his orbit around the solar system. And for an erroneous calculation of certain cosmocreators, it entered into the orbit of the Earth, this big ovum, and collided. And caused, of course, a lot of problems. Because the Earth was trembling and the atmosphere was still forming in order to sustain the two moons. Now, in order to sustain these two moons, the planet was struggling. And humanity at that time was reaching the level in which we are going to be divided into two sexes. So behold here the karma of the Earth, the Rita, the cosmic force. Very clear. So because of that collision, many parts of the continent Mu, that was already crystallizing the three-dimensional world, were sinking. A lot of people were dying. And the reasoning, according to the evolution of the intellectual animal, was reaching that type of reasoning in which they were guessing that all of these calamities were falling on their psyche, meaning that they had to control not only the trembling of this planet, moreover, to sustain the orbit of the two moons around in order for the planet to suck all the life that at that time was entering into the three-dimensional world. That's why it is stated that a great commission came to the Earth in order to establish equilibrium in this planet because of that mistake, of that collision. Sakaki and a great group came to the Earth, and you know, and they arrive at the conclusion that the only way in order to help the planet was to give the Kundavafer organ to humanity. If you see the tree of life, the Kundavafer organ is related with Klipoth, related with the moon, the forces of the moon, forces of creation. How do they implant that organ? Easily. They took control of that part of the monad that is called Lucifer. Each one of us has his own particular Lucifer. Lucifer is that part of the monad that gives sexual potency to the men and humility to the woman in order to perform the sexual act. Lucifer is active in the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom was already divided into two sexes. There, Lilith was acting freely. Who is this Lilith? It's related with desire. In the animal kingdom, fornication, orgasm, or spasm is normal. Observe to horses, to bulls, to dogs, to cats, they ejaculate only in certain periods according to the laws of nature. That's called desire. This is animal desire. And that's what's happened precisely in Lemuria. Animals were already doing that, but humanity was innocent. And they were performing their sexual act only in the temples. Not like animals. No fornication, no orgasm. But then the comet that came from the other planets, cosmic creators, arrive at the conclusion the only way to crystallize and to stabilize the inner layers of the Earth is by channeling the forces of the Moon faster in order to stabilize the inner layers. And the only way to do it is by working with the Moon, with the Kundabafer organ. So they gave freedom to Lucifer in order for that humanity to fornicate. But it's something very normal that happens in all the planets. Because in order to be like the Elohim, we have to know good and evil. Evil, as explained this way, is what we talk here about fornication in the human level. So that's what happened. Humanity received that Kundabafer organ, and they started performing the sexual act out of the temples, and the outcome was the orgasm, the spasm, and they fell into what I explained that, into the Itoklanos level, the animal kingdom. And the tail started to develop physically. And that became as a buffer in order to stabilize the Earth. That's why it's called Kundabafer. And of course, the forces of Lilith and Nahema, the white and the black moon, were acting. And finally, the problem was resolved. The problem here is that the calculation of that organ passed the time established according to the law of karma. This planet Earth has a lot of karma from the previous cosmic days. Or the anima mundi, the soul of the world, have a karma from past cosmic days that caused a trouble in the development of the human being. So when that committee returned into the Earth, they realized there was a big mistake, that the organ that should have just for a certain time, it was prolonged to more time. They, of course, took the organ out of the physical bodies of humanity. And that's precisely the mystery that is written in the book of Genesis in Eden. When Lucifer enters and tempts Eve, which is a negative aspect, the reproduction of that humanity. And then Adam eats of the fruit, and Eve also eats of the fruit because of Lucifer. To eat the fruit is to reach the orgasm. In other planets, they take the Kundabafer organ out and they develop fast in knowing good and evil. But here was a big mistake in which all of us are mingled with. The consequences of that Kundabafer organ developed more than the normal. In other planets, as much, the negative consequences develop as like 10%. And humanity are still living in paradise and developing knowledge of good and evil. But here was 97%. 97. So behold a big mistake committed in this planet Earth. And that's why it is stated that Adam has two wives, Lilith and Nahema. In the time of Lemuria, when that continent was sinking into the ocean, and because of the Kundabafer organ, many men, males, were still alive physically, and most of the females, the Eves, were disappearing, dying, the males were with desire, sexual desire, as the Kundabafer, the consequences were still alive in them. So there were creatures coming from evolution, from the animal kingdom, that in the previous cosmic days reached the level of humanoid, but they never reached the self-realization. So they already knew the human level. So in the internal plane, they were having the human shape, but in the physical plane is still the animal shape. They show to the Lemurians the shape of a human, but animal with a lot of hair. That belonging to the other evolution. And that is what we call the crystallization of Lilith. Most of them were feminine. These fallen creatures had intercourse with those animals that in previous, I repeat, cosmic days, they reached the level of human being or humanoid, but never reached the perfection. Still, they didn't have mind. They were speechless, but very human. In Greek mythology, they appear like satyrs and other creatures that are half animal, half human. With those creatures, animals, these males had sexual intercourse. And another accident occurred. Because these males were related with the triamatsikamno, there are three bodies related with, like our bodies, with three primary forces. When they intermingle with these beasts, with internal resemble humans, but still were speechless, were animals, they created the gorilla, the chimpanzee, the orangutan, and many other monkeys or apes. That was the outcome of that. And of course, another creature appears. Another humanoid that developed according to karma and that inherited the animal and the human. That appear in Atlantis and that still is alive in this three-dimensional world is our own particular race that still behaves as an animal because we multiply as animals. But we have the inheritance, the human inheritance in us because of karma. But all of that is because of this accident that happened because of mistakes. But remember that all of us in the depth are part of that. Whether directly or indirectly. That's why the Bible states that the first wife of Adam was Lilith. The first wife of the fallen Adam. The Adam that was already fallen because of the Kundalini organ. So he took Lilith and Nahema as two wives. Later on, with the correction that these angels made according to karma, Adam had Seth into his own image, into his own likeness. When they were, of course, mating with the right woman. When he was mating with the right one, with the right mate. Not with animals. Problem is that at that time, animal kingdom and human kingdom was intermingled. Remember that monads that were coming from the animal kingdom were inheriting the human bodies also of the human beings in order to self-realize themselves. But also there were like these creatures that we call Lilith, which were animals with a human shape. That's why Lilith is represented with a long hair, symbolically speaking. And we talk about Adam, we're talking about the Lemurian race. This is precisely what we had to comprehend and understand. Master Samael talks about that in the Major Mysteries. He says, Lucifer tempted the human being, and the human being fell into temptation. Lucifer, as a black magician, wears a bloody colored tunic and covers his head with a red cap, like the bones and the dukpas from Oriental Tibet. There is a demon called Lucifer, a black magician called Lucifer. But remember that internally, particularly, we have our own particular Lucifer, which is a sexual potency, part of our being. The lustful forces of the Luciferians awoke animal passion within human beings. Then men and women started to ejaculate their semen, This is why the Lemurian tribes were expelled from the temples. Then, in those times of yore, the Kundalini that had been victoriously lifted up in the medullary canal descended to the coccygeal bone, and there it lingered, enclosed within the chakra muladhara. The lamp of the temple was stuffed out, and the human being sank himself into profound darkness. This is how the Edenic being died, and the Luciferian being was born. Luciferian being is the one that ejaculates the sexual force. The Edenic was not doing that. Then, when the human being ate from the forbidden fruit, the Lord Jehovah said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil." To reach that level is necessary to know good and evil. In other words, desire is necessary in the animal kingdom. Desire is necessary also in the human kingdom in order to control it. Remember that we had to ride on the white horse. In the beginning, you perform the sexual act with desire, but you have to control it. You have to exercise dominion of your horse. Because through the knowledge of desire is how you acquire knowledge of good and evil. The problem here is that desire developed too much. And humanity is still a slave of desire. It is very rare to find riders. Horses are everywhere. Well, where do you find a good rider? Jesus was a good rider. And he even showed it by entering into Jerusalem, not in a horse, in a donkey, which is worse. Because the donkey is a very fornicator animal. So we had a good rider, like Jesus, riding a white donkey. Or a white horse. That's why Samael is very represented by riding a white horse. And anyone that wants to go out of this degeneration with this root race, Aryan race, is synced. We have to ride the horse, which is the animal desire. In the end, we have to transform desire into willpower. Telema is our motto, willpower. One thing is sensation desire, which commonly is felt by the billions of inhabitants of the planet Earth. When they perform the sexual act, they feel sensation desire. But the Gnostic transformed that desire into willpower. In the end, we have to feel willpower sensation, or sensation willpower, which means the sexual act is always pleasurable, but with a good rider, with willpower, we control it, and we manage, we control the sexual energy. That's willpower sensation, or sensation willpower. Now we have to develop in order to become a rider, a good rider. And that's done through the Ehe rune. That when you see is the left arm, which relates to the Sephira Bina. The Sephira Bina, the left arm, and the Sephira Hesed, the right arm. That is what we call mercy, Hesed. That's why matrimony, or the rune Ehe, is represented by the left arm, taking from Binah and placing that in Chesed. Who is Chesed? We said, Chesed is the innermost, our own particular spirit that controls the water of Genesis. Remember that in the beginning, the Ruach Elohim was floating upon the waters. water, sexual waters, the Ruach Elohim descends, and that is what we call the holy matrimony. The matrimony according to the law of God. The matrimony according to the law of God is not a ceremony that you are going to celebrate in different religions, or any church. The priest appears there and he will bless you in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and you are married. And that is not what we are talking about here. I don't care if you are Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim. The real matrimony is when the Ruach Elohim, which is in the right of the Rune Ehe, which is Chesed, which is mercy, is obeying the commands of Yod Hava Elohim, Bina, in the sexual act, in the holy matrimony. This is how the matrimony becomes holy. Because through the Spirit, our own particular innermost, this is how Yahovah Elohim, the Creator, controls our sexual energy. But behold, there is the opposite of the Rune Ehe, which is the Rune Not. The Rune Not is completely the opposite. The right arm is above, pointing Chokhmah, and the right is below, which is called Tugeburah. That's why it says, when you see this sign, the law is according to is with you according to your actions. There is a statement that states, do what thou wilt, but remember that you have to answer for all your deeds. That's a rune not. Because in Geburah, as we explained in the lecture, is placed the inheritance of the cosmic creator that we need to develop in order to acquire that self-realization through karma, the Geburah. And that's why when you see that from Chokhmah, the right, we go into Geburah, the left. And that's precisely the way in which you have to know how to handle. Because the Rune Not is teaching us. Nut. You see? Geburah is the left side of the tree of life. It's a woman. It's a feminine aspect. It's Nut, the Divine Mother, whose number is 56. If you make the addition, 5 Geburah and 60 Fereth, that's 5 and 6, 56. She works with Geburah, with the law, and with 6, the human soul. Making the addition is 11. The horse rune, the two ones, man and woman, united. That's 56, which is 11. Those couple that know how to control the sexual energy in the sexual act, that know how to ride. And of course, if they don't know how to ride, they create ego, because the sexual energy creates. If you don't know how to control it, you create children from Lilith and from Nahemah. Psychological defects, vices, and errors within your psyche, no outside, inside of you. That's the ego. That's why it is stated also that the number of the ego is 56. Easy to understand. Because the ego, in the ego we have the karma, the 5. And the ego is created because the wrong use of willpower, which is Tifereth, the human soul. In the sexual act. In the sexual energy. So that's why when you read some books of the Master, it says the number of the ego is 56. But when you read with the eyes of the Spirit, and with Kabbalah, I said, yeah, of course. And the number of the Divine Mother is also 56. Yeah, I understand that. Because it's the Zig rune there. So it depends how you utilize the sexual energy, which is the Divine Mother energy. In order to be a good rider, or to fall from the horse and to go into Klipoth with your ego very fat. So that is up to you. It's not a matter of believing in something or accepting or rejecting. It's how you sexually behave with your sexual force, is it? Whether you are generating or regenerating or degenerating. We teach here regeneration. Generation, I don't need to explain that because all of us are the outcome of generation. Degeneration, I don't need to explain because there is a lot of space there when you find yourself how to degenerate yourselves. But regeneration is precisely the point. And you have to balance. Because this rune also relates to the forces of the kidneys. The rune not. Remember, Nut is the Divine Mother. It resembles this rune. The Divine Mother rewards or chastises her child according to his own actions. And how she discovers how her child is behaving? In the kidneys. Remember that we talked about the kidneys already, about the rune Gibor and the X related with the kidneys, with Andrew, with the man, with the forces of sex. In Taoism, we know that the forces of the kidneys nourish the sexual glands. Book of Revelation states, I am he who searcheth the heart and the kidneys. Or the reins, they said. So what is the reins? The reins is when you control the beast, right? When you're riding a horse, you have to hold the reins. Behold, the R, the letter R, the rune Rita. The face is the upper, and the down the right is holding the reins, the lower lined in front, riding the horse. So I am the one that searches the reins and the heart. And I will give unto you according to your deeds. This is what the book of Revelation says. That is a sexual statement with the force of creation. It's not that somebody will come and punish you. No. If you use the sexual force in the wrong way, you will suffer physically and psychologically because of your behavior. Not because it's written in the book of Revelation. Study the anatomy of the physical body. You will realize that the kidneys are related with the sexual force. And the heart also. Now in this day and age, they say that if you have problems with the heart, don't take that pill that gives you sexual strength. Why? Because the sexual strength is related with the blood. And those pills that are very common fame in this day and age, that men takes and knows, men more, they want to have sexual erection. This is in relation with the heart, with the blood. It goes into the sexual organ and have an erection. But also in relation with the kidneys. So I will give unto you according to your own deeds. I am the one that searches the kidneys and the heart. This is what the book of Revelation states. It's a very sexual statement. Now you understand why the rune not is a rune of natura. Not ur is a rune ur. Nature. You see the word nature is formed by the rune not, the rune ur, and the ra at the end, natura in Latin, nature in English. So the rune not is the one that is telling us when something comes into your life which is giving you karma, work with the rune not, which is an exercise that you perform together with the rune eche, which is the contrary. Because the rune eche is mercy from God, but the rune not is the love of God that falls in Geburah, according to your deeds. Remember that. That's why the practice of the rune not is to balance mercy and justice. This is how you do it. But not only in an exercise, you have to know why you are doing it. Behold the exercise of the rune not. doesn't want to go ahead. Okay, here it is. Oh, so the root knot, again, is at the very end of the graphics that we are trying to show here, and we are having problems. But there you find it. It's the last practice. When you combine, as you see in the very bottom of these graphics, the root ehe and the root not. Left and right, left and right, by vocalizing na, ne, ni, no, nu. That's the help that we are going to receive from the la. By balancing that. But you have to understand that you have to do, well, not only the rune, you have to understand why you're doing it. Mercy and justice. That reminds me the work that Abraham showed with his initiation. You see the graphic of Abraham? Runes Ehe and Not, we wrote there. It says, in the invocation of Solomon, we pronounce this part of the invocation. The invocation is very long, but part of it says, mercy, which is Chesed, and justice, which is Geburah, be ye the equilibrium, you see the hands there, and splendor, Tifereth, of my life. So you are Tifereth, the human soul, that are acquiring equilibrium in your path by knowing, study the story of Abraham. When he engenders the first initiation of major mysteries, which is the symbol of Isaac, then the rune not came against him. Justice. And appears there, Jehovah Elohim, and says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac for me. If you read that literally, you may think, oh, he's going to kill his own son. No. That's a symbol of the work that we do with karma. Sometimes in your path, you are doing something good, you are developing. And then the law comes to you. You have that development, you have this house. But remember that in your past life, you were exploiting people. Now, according to karma, you have to lose this. And it will balance. You are working with the law, so you know. And then you says, this is what you love the most, right? But you work in your life for this. Well, you have to sacrifice that. You are going to lose it. But the Gnostic knows very well how to negotiate with the law. And he says, well, the law is against me now. The room not. The law. What I had to do? I had to do a negotiation with the law. And for that I had to balance and go into the rune ehe, the sexual energy, the matrimony, to be chaste and to receive mercy, chesed. And who is chesed? Which many times we said is Abraham. Abraham is going to sacrifice because of the law, geburah. But then because of the negotiation and because of the work that he's doing in favor of others, an angel, the angel of Geburah, appears and holds his arm. Meaning, don't sacrifice that. You are forgiven. The law is now in your favor. And now in order to do what you had to do, in order to receive forgiveness, you had to sacrifice this lamb. Doesn't mean literally, as people think, that Abraham found an innocent lamb and killed him. No. That lamb symbolizes the forces of the head. The way in which you are going to do that sacrifice, instead of losing what you went to lose, you had to give. You had to do something, to sacrifice something in favor. I remember in the past, when I saw the love of karma becoming against me. And I said, I had to do this negotiation, and I did it. And then I said, I promise that I will accomplish this if you take this karma out of me. And they did. And I accomplished. Week after week, with that promise that I promised. Until they told me, is this enough? Your sacrifice is taken. And that karma was taken off too. But because I was working with the knot. So when you do the root knot, you can do this negotiation. But also the master explains in his book of runes that you can also do the root knot by meditating. By remembering your past lives. You sink into yourself with your innermost and say, show me my past lives. If you are receiving certain karma very strong, meditate and say, why am I receiving this type of karma? And then the answer is in your past life. Because karma is cause and effect. And then if you do the negotiation, you said, please take this karma out of me. And I promise this. And believe me, I tell you, if it's a negotiation that could be done, karma is taken out, but you have to pay. If that karma is taken out and you don't pay as you promised, that karma will come heavier for you. So if you do this type of negotiation, as the master explained in his books, you have to accomplish what you promised. Because if you don't do it, you are playing with the law. With this physical law here, the law created by the humanoids in this planet, they play with it. And you see that. They play, there are judges that play with it, the lawyers play with this law and make a big game of it. But with the cosmic law, you cannot do that. If you promise and make a negotiation, you have to accomplish it. Otherwise, the kaom is inside of you. Remember that the master talks about the kaom. Here we place that. The police of karma, the kaom, is the same part of Geburah in you. The inheritance that you receive from your cosmic creator. It's a kaom. It's an internal police. Each one of us has that kaom inside. That emerges when one of us within those intimate regions where love is missing. To flee from the agents of karma is not possible, since inside of each one of us exists the police, who inevitably will conduct us towards the tribunals. This is, you wonder, how is the law of karma controlling all these billions of people? Easily, the police inside of you take you when you commit some mistake or some error. Everything is written. You cannot escape from your own consciousness. When the case is lost, when the people don't feel that remorse, because the remorse comes from the internal kaom that accuses you. It's telling you, you did this, sorry, but now you feel the remorse, I have to tell the laws of karma up there what you did. That's my mission. That is my duty. As an archetype within your consciousness and for your own good. So when you go in the temple of the laws of karma, you ask for your book. They have the book. All good and evil deeds that you performed. It says, how is it that they wrote all of this? Who wrote it? You. You wrote it. Part of yourself wrote it. Your inner kaom. And that's precisely the internal police. You have to understand that. That's why when you are performing the sexual act in the right way, you are transmuting, who do you think informed the laws of karma? This is doing very good. It's a kaom. But when you fall and you see it, well, it's doing the effort, but it still is falling, you know. It's a kaom too, informing. So you cannot escape from the law. You cannot escape from your own being. He knows very well. You can hide from us. From your sister, from your mother, from your father, and do secretly things without anybody seeing. Yeah, God is watching you. The Kaom is watching at you, looking at you, and the laws of karma know everything that you do. But if you think it's good, well, your Kaom know what is good and what is bad. You have to learn from it. And what you see there, that angel inside of you, if you still have that connection with your inner Kaom, good for you. Because then you're acting. And then you have to perform, when karma comes to you, you have to perform the rune knot. In order to control or to develop your inner judgment. Well, the Master Samael on Veor explains that in order to develop that remorse or to develop that internal judge that will give you that, because this is what we need. We need to be masters of good and evil. We need to know what is good and what is evil. We need to know the evil from the good and the good from the evil. And how do we know that? By liberating the internal Kaom, the internal judge inside of us, by performing the rune Rita. You perform the rune in that way. Remember that symbol, the shape of the human body, is related with Geburah, with Tifereth, and with Hod, the way in which you manage that force. And then you said, concentrate it in your internal Kaom, concentrate it in your human soul, in Keter, the first law. This is how you've imagined the ray of creation coming into your head, going into your heart, into your liver, because there is your karma. And that rune will develop in you that internal judgment that you need. If you still have that remorse when you do something bad, it's good. And you develop that, it's even better. And the people that do not have that remorse, that do bad things, and they feel like heroes, they're really bad. They are far from the inner monad. So they need to perform this rune a lot in order to liberate that internal judgment. And of course, the rune Ehe, remember, is the mercy. That when you manage the forces in matrimony, the forces of your kidneys, your horse, the rune Nut, when the karma is against you. But remember, there are two types of karma that cannot be negotiated. Once that karma enters into action, you have just to accept it. Is it okay? That's the will of my inner Kaom. Have to accept it. That karma is something that you're receiving because of the actions of past lives or actions of this present life. If you drink a lot of alcohol, you will have your liver with a lot of sickness, cirrhosis. Receive that if that is there already. What can you do? Take medicine, whatever. But there are certain karmas that you cannot negotiate, called karma duro and karma zaya. Karma duro is related with fornication. Karma zaya with adultery. Karma duro, fornication, is in relation with Lilith. The origin of fornication, orgasm, spasm, animal behavior is in Lilith, desire, in other words, inside of us. And the origin of adultery is Nahema. All of us are stamped in the forehead with those forces, karma duro and karma zaya. All of us have that karma. Karma zaya relates to the heart. When you suffer in the heart, when somebody betrays you, you cannot negotiate that. Unless the other person changes his or her behavior. But when a person acts in that way, you deserve it. That's the law. But if you protest against that, oh, I am a mixed ship. I'm good. I don't deserve this. And then the Lord says, okay, here's another tone of that karma in order for you to learn. And if you don't learn, it's more weight and more weight. When you said, okay, I am guilty, and I receive the punishment, then that karma is going out for you. Fortunately, all of us feel that we are innocent. Right? And we don't deserve that. That karma duro or karma zaya. But remember, negotiation is possible if it's not karma duro or karma zaya. This is already acting. Karma duro, cancer, for instance, is karma duro for all this humanity. Whether you are Gnostic or not, you will die of cancer, maybe another type of sickness, but fornication causes different type of sickness, among them cancer, AIDS, and many others. And karma duro, earthquakes, tsunamis, different revolutions, is the law in action. And not because we are a meek ship, right? But because we deserve it. And we want to negotiate our own karma. Here is the two clues. Read the explanation that is written there already in the graphics, or buy the book, the runes, in which you will explain. You have questions now because we reached the limit now. Yes?
Yeah. If you were going to negotiate a karma, do you know if it's good? Obviously, you can't do something small. Something.
Well, you had to promise. You had to promise when you are negotiating a karma, you had to give what you can give. Do not promise to give something that you cannot do. If, for instance, if you take this karma out of me, I promise Anubis and his 42 yachts that I will give $1 million every month. Well, can you do that? You know what I mean? Maybe Bill Gates can do that, but he's not going to do anything. People that are rich are not thinking in doing any negotiation like that. But you have to promise what you can give. In my case, when I performed that many years ago, I gave what I could. And every week, I said, every week I will do this. And every week was I doing it for many years. Years. Until somebody came and said, it's enough. Don't do that anymore. We are going to do it. Why only you? Who think you are? Special? No, I'm not. Okay, we are going to do it. Okay, I said, good. I don't even open my mouth, you see. It's finished. My negotiation is finished here. So, do you have another question? Yes?
In the quote from Genesis that you showed us earlier, how did you divine from reading that passage that the division of the sexes was occurring in animals at that time? What part of that passage showed you division of the sexes in animals?
It's showing and it says, let us make, how to say it there? Let me see.
Helpmate. That was for the man, though. I'm asking about the animals.
Exactly. And then he says, and then God created the fowls, the animals, and whatever appear. That is showing that he is first doing that division there and bringing to Adam. And after that, says, now they make a thing for Adam. You see? So everything comes according to evolution, according to the steps. First the lower kingdoms, the animals, and then the human kingdom. So the division of sexes appear first in the animal level, and then in the human level. Unfortunately, human fell into fornication and started mingling with beasts. And that's precisely the mixture that we call now gorilla, chimpanzee, orangutan, is an accident. In this planet. Only in this planet. Yes?
Did everyone mingle with the beasts, or did there remain some pockets of pure?
Oh, yeah, of course. There were some packages of human beings that were pure, that never mingled with beasts. And that's why is what the Bible talks about Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve, right? But until this day and age, you mean?
Yeah.
There are certain that are there in special parts of the earth. But most of the billions of inhabitants of this planet are the outcome of that mixture. Because we have a lot of animal. That's a problem. That's why we had to defeat Nahemah first and then Lilith. And that's the work that we had to do in civilization. All the great avatars, messengers that came in order to teach us how to defeat the animal nature that we inherited because of the mistake of our parents, the Lemurian race, and because of the mistake of the cosmic creators with the comet Kondur. And because if we go past, you know what I mean? This is precisely the story of the universe.
Question.
Yes?
Is there a reason why in the pranayama version of the rune knot, we begin to inhale through the right nostril, when in most pranayama versions I have seen, we usually begin to inhale through the left nostril?
The right nostril is related with the moon. And the left nostril is in relation with the sun in the men, because the women are reverse. The way in which it's described is the way that we had to do it. Remember that when we are doing that, the pranayama is in relation with Ida Pingala, again, with the two forces of the Eje and Not, mercy and justice, to equilibrate our own forces. If you meditate in it, you will find many reasons. But remember always that the man is reverse and the woman is in the right way. Or the man is in the right way and the woman is reverse, whatever you wanted. In relation with Ida Pingala and the pranayama. Yes? Yeah, the question is, can we negotiate the kamaduro of cancer, for instance? It's not negotiable, but can we negotiate that before it appears? Before it appears, yes. Once the kamaduro is in action, no matter what you do, it's not negotiable. But if you know, because all of us know, that we have that type of kamaduro and karmazaya, all of us, we are not mixed up here, all of us are cut with the same scissors. So knowing that, he says, my God, if I have this type of sickness, please, can you give me at the end of my work? Because if it comes in the middle, well, you die. That's no good. But sometimes mercy acts in that way. Your innermost, which is mercy, has said, arrives and says, my son, the human soul, is entering into the path. According to karma, my son has to die of cancer. Can we hold this karma until the end because he's not active yet? And the master says, yes, if your son works good. If he doesn't, according to this karma, he has to die at the age of 30. No, but he entered, he's 25 now. Okay, we hold it until the age of 70. What do you think? Good. I will work with him. But you had to pay it anyhow. Negotiable in the sense that you had to receive it sooner or later. That's non-negotiable. You know? Sooner or later you receive it. Negotiable is when you have to suffer in a certain way, but it's the karma is taken out because you are doing something else. You understand that? Now the case of Abraham. Going to kill Isaac, but doesn't kill it. Now there is a sheep there. Do it. It's exchangeable. Kamaduro and karmazaya are not exchangeable. Whether you pay it right now, later, or whatever, but you have to pay it with pain and suffering because those are the karmas against the Holy Ghost, which is the sexual energy. All things are forgiven except kamaduro and karmazaya.
Question.
Another question.
Many lectures have stated in synthesis that God and ego will not mix. How was the Ein Sof Or infected with the subtle ego if God and ego do not mix?
Well, how was the Ein Sof Or infected with the ego? Was not ego. Certain sins of the soul, because at that height, when the cosmos creators, with those beings that achieve perfection, enter the solar absolute, they have no ego already. But still they need to balance certain elements, which are very subtle. When I say they have no ego, in the sense that the ego that we have, very gross and animal. There's other things that we need to learn by listening to the lectures of the paramitas, which is already given. Type of errors related with the soul, mistakes in which we find no perfection because there are certain elements, subjective elements, that you need to find, but don't worry about that because that you have to escalate first, higher initiations in order to reach those levels. And to those are where Gurdjieff and the Master Samael talks about. Those elements still were not equilibrated and entering into the absolute. That originated at its equilibrium. I repeat, you need to meditate a lot in order to understand that because it's not like the ego that we see it in this day and age. Very animal and degenerated. It's type of, it's called sins of the soul. Yeah. Can a person can't pay another person karma? No. Unless that person marry the other person and share their own karma. Then there could be negotiations like that. Or the only one that can forgive karma is Christ. If you reach the level of Tifereth, then if you choose to renounce nirvana and work for your fellow men, then Christ incarnates in you and help you to deal with your karma. Christ is the only being that can do it. And sometimes if others interfere in the karma of others and do it without respecting the law, the other person can take the karma and die. Karma is karma. It's like saying you have to kill yourself with this bullet to commit suicide because you did it a lot of the time. I'm going to take that bullet for you. Well, you die, and the other person will die anyhow because it's karma. So, no, another person cannot take unless it's a cosmic creator. But I repeat, has to incarnate in you as a savior. To help you to negotiate? Yes. An awakened being can negotiate for you. I said, I'm going to do it because you are not capable of doing it into the tribunals of karma. We are going to do a negotiation for you. Do you agree with it? Yes. Okay, then he can do it for you, but you have to do the work for it, not the master. Because then what is the benefit of that? To be you being a lazy slav, receiving help and doing nothing? That will really a waste of time. Through karma is how you learn your mistakes. If somebody does it for you, well, I don't see how you're going to learn that way. Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Gnostic Radio to help others. Make a donation by visiting GnosticRadio.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to explore the wide variety of resources available on our websites. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.